May we have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gathered here in the name of thy beloved Son, we do praise and thank thee, knowing that thou art here with us. Our prayer is, Lord, that thou will remove any veil that may be upon our hearts. We want to see thee. We do commit this time into thy hands, trusting in thy sovereign mercy, knowing that it is thy will to reveal thy Son in us. And for this we are thankful. May thou be exalted, glorified, in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. God is the greatest mystery in the universe. No one can know him except by revelation. Our Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 22, all things have been delivered unto me. No one knows who the Son is but the Father. And no one knows who the Father is but the Son, and to whomever he is pleased to reveal. So, brothers and sisters, God cannot be known other than through revelation. This is a basic principle that we have to accept. Anything that we know of God, anything that we think we possess, anything that pertains to God, anything that is spiritual, it has to come by revelation. We need to measure what we think we have, or what we think we know, by this one thing. Does it come to us by revelation? Or does it come to us otherwise? If anything that we know and we have does not come from revelation from above, nor is it necessary to be revealed, then, brothers and sisters, it is very clear that what we know and what we have is not of God. It is unreal. It is a substitute. It is a deception. I wonder if we use this to measure ourselves, how much of our spiritual life is real. How many are just substitutes? If we consider ourselves, we may find that through the years, we have accumulated lots of information about God, about our Lord Jesus, about spiritual things. We gather these things either by hearing, listening to messages, or we gather these things by reading books after books. We gather a lot. But brothers and sisters, if we measure what we have gathered with this principle of revelation, how much will remain? Probably what we have is more of religion, is more of Christianity, is more of tradition, is more of letter instead of spirit. And because of this, we find that we cannot pass testings. We may have the form of piety, but without the power of it. Anything in our lives, in our Christian lives, that does not come from revelation or does not need revelation, dear brothers and sisters, I have to say to myself and to you, dear brothers and sisters, we live in an unreal world of religion. What is revelation? By revelation, we do not mean original revelation. That is, God originally revealed to His people. We believe that all that God wants to reveal to His people has been revealed. And they are recorded in the Word of God. There can be no original revelation anymore. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, it says, hidden things belong to God. Revealed things belong to us and to our children to keep. And we do believe that there are many hidden things of God that we will never know. But thank God, He has revealed Himself to us, things that He wants us to know and to keep. We do not believe that outside of the Word of God, you can have new revelation. Anyone who professes to have new revelation, extra to the written Word of God, is a heretic. It's an error. But brothers and sisters, even so, we do believe that after God has revealed to us what He wants to reveal to us, and it is all recorded in the Word of God, the faith once delivered to the saints. And yet, we do believe that we need revelation. And by revelation, it simply means the Holy Spirit will touch afresh upon the written word and speak to our renewed spirit. In other words, God has spoken once, but He will speak twice. In Psalm 62, verse 11, it says, God spoke once and twice. All power belongs to Him. Dear brothers and sisters, God has spoken once by His Spirit, and it is recorded in the Word of God. Now, we need God to speak again to each one of us individually, personally, intimately. To put it another way, the Word of God needs to be quickened in our spirit. The Word of God is Logos, the truth. Now, the truth needs to be quickened into Rhema, as if God is speaking afresh the same word, but He speaks to you individually, directly, in your spirit. So, brothers and sisters, if we have any knowledge of God, if there is anything that is spiritual, it has to come by revelation. The letter alone kills. It is the Spirit that quickens. You know, brothers and sisters, it is as if today we are in the age of the Church of Laodicea. There you find the Laodiceans, those saints in the church in Laodicea at the end of the first century. Listen to what they say. They say, we are rich and are grown rich. We are lacking in nothing. In a sense, it is true. Because the church in Laodicea, spiritually speaking, is the fall of the church in Philadelphia. How rich is the church in Philadelphia? There is life, there is truth, there is revelation. There is the presence of God, the blessing of God, full of spiritual riches. But when these riches that come by first-hand experience of the Lord are handed down to the second, the third generation, you'll find they will say, well, we are rich. We have inherited so much. We are lacking in nothing. But the Lord said, you are the miserable, the wretched, and poor, blind, and naked. In other words, what they have is tradition. They live in the glorious past. They do not live in the living present. There is not that intimate relationship with the Lord. They receive everything with their mind, but their heart is cold. Their heart is dead. They have a rich tradition, but it is not living reality. Brothers and sisters, can it be that our own spiritual situations are like the church in Laodicea? When you read the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, these people, they were people who returned from Babylonian captivity. They returned with one reason: to rebuild the house of God, that God may have His name upon this earth. They are willing to forsake everything, brave all the dangers, and went to a ruined place for one reason: to rebuild the house of God. That's why they returned. After they returned, they did rebuild the temple. They did restore the priesthood. They did have the sacrifices and all the worship going on. But if you read Malachi, you find that God has a controversy with these people. They have such an external, pious, godly front, but you'll find a constant debate going on between God and these people. We would think that the people who remain in Babylonian captivity, they will have controversy with God. But these people, they have returned for God, living for God. Much has been restored, and yet you find they're there to debate with God on every point. They did not agree with what God said. God said, I love you. But they say, wherein hast thou loved us? God said, where is my honor? My fear. If you do not love me, at least you shall honor me. You shall fear me. Where is my honor? Where is my fear? And they said, wherein have we not honored thee, nor feared thee? They did sacrifice, but they gave the poor, the blind, the crippled, to offer to God and keep the best for themselves. They said, the table of the Lord is despicable. They did worship. But they worship from afar. They do not have the spirit of true worship. They live a life that is contradictory to God. And yet they argue with God. God called them to return. And they say, where shall we return? We are already there. We have never gone away. They rob God. And yet they say, we haven't done that. Their words are hard, harsh against God. Why? And because of this, after the last voice of Malachi, for 400 years, God was silent. May I say, God was silenced by his people. They live on by tradition. Maybe the best traditions. But there is no revelation. It's all external. It's unreal. It's a deception. Brothers and sisters, we are coming to the end of this age. Those people at the time of Malachi, they were coming to the end of the dispensation of law. We are coming to the end of the dispensation of grace. Can it be that we are in the same situation? We live on tradition, the past. There is no revelation, no life, no spirit, no power. Why is it there is no revelation? Is it because God wants to hide himself? Is it because God does not want to reveal himself to us? We know it is not. God revealed himself to Moses. And said, I am that I am. He is the one who exists forever. He is the one who reveals himself. In Genesis chapter 16, when Hagar fled from her mistress, God met her by the well in the wilderness. God revealed to her. So he said, Jehovah is the God who reveals himself. This well is the well of the one who reveals himself. It is the well of the vision. I see the Lord. The Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, he says, it pleases God. God is pleased to reveal his Son in me. If you have a son, you would like to introduce your son to everybody. It is your pride. It is your pleasure. Now God has an only begotten son, and it pleases him to reveal his son. Then why is it that today we do not seem to have much revelation? There does not seem to have much quickening in the Spirit. As we read the Word of God, God does not speak by Spirit personally to us. In our daily life, it is as if the heaven is brass. There is no communication, no living relationship. Why? Why is it? Is it because we are too full? We are too rich. We are so rich in the knowledge that we have accumulated. We think we are spiritual. We are proud of our achievements. We have so much tradition, good tradition, best tradition. And it is because we think we have. That's the reason why revelation is so rare. Vision is so infrequent. You remember our Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, he says, I thank thee, Father, for it pleases you to keep away from the wise and the prudent, but to reveal to the babes. Is it because we are too wise? We are too prudent. And that's the reason why we do not have living, fresh revelation. Except we be converted and be as little children, we cannot enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of the heavens? Those who are like little children, childlike. How we need to humble ourselves before the Lord, acknowledging how little is real, how little is truly spiritual, how much is mental. How little is of the heart. And if we can humble ourselves before the Lord, I believe that He will readily, quickly revealed himself to us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If our heart is pure to him, if all we want is him, then he will show himself to us. Seek and ye shall find. If we seek him, we shall find him. Brothers and sisters, revelation can come. Either by inner anointing, that is the teaching of the anointing within us. We have the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit. And he will speak in our spirit. He will teach us in all things. He will make the Word of God living, effective, powerful to our life. Or it may come by outward discipline, the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will so order our circumstances, and through our circumstances, he speaks to us. He makes his word living, powerful. We need to be like Job. Job has such a rich tradition. He was perfect, self-righteous. There was no one in the world like him. Very godly. And yet, at the end, he had to say, in the past, I heard of you, but now I see, and I repent in dust and ashes. Dear brothers and sisters, does this happen to you? Are we today in this situation? Can we say, I see? Not only I hear, but I see. And if I do, I will repent in dust and ashes. So, dear brothers and sisters, we strongly feel that as we are living towards the very end, the Lord is coming back. We cannot live in an unreal world anymore. It is just tradition. It will be burned. But it is, if it is revelation, it will remain to eternity. So the burden is that God, the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, will give us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to the full knowledge of God. And this is our prayer. God willing, we will have four sessions on this matter of revelation. And we would like to consider together, first, on the revelation given to John the Baptist. And secondly, we will consider revelation given to Peter the Apostle. And third, we will consider the revelation given to Paul the Apostle. And finally, revelation given to John the Apostle. We believe that all these that are recorded in the Word of God is for our encouragement and admonition. In other words, what God has revealed to them is for us, that we may see what they have seen. Because God gives such revelations to them for us today. So this evening we'll begin with the first one. Will you please turn to the Gospel according to John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 29. On the morrow, he that is John the Baptist see Jesus coming to him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He it is of whom I said, a man comes after me, who takes a place before me, because he was before me." Verse 31. "And I knew him not." "And I knew him not. But that he might be manifested to Israel, therefore have I come baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I beheld the Spirit descending as a dove from heaven, and it abode upon him." Verse 33. "And I knew him not." "And I knew him not. But he who sent me to baptize with water, he says to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding on him, he it is who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God." Chapter 3. Verse 25. "There was therefore a reasoning of the disciples of John with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, he baptizes, and all come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it be given him out of heaven. Ye yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. For the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices in heart because of the voice of the bridegroom. This my joy then is fulfilled. He must increase and I must decrease." After a silence of 400 years, not because the people have changed, but because God is merciful. As if he couldn't stand it any further. To him the fullness of time has come. So he sent a messenger to the children of Israel, John the Baptist. Even when John was in the mother's womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was sent by God as the forerunner of the Messiah, of Christ. God sent him to prepare the way of the Lord. He came to manifest Christ to the world. And for this reason, he preached repentance. And he performed baptism with water. Many came to him. It was a voice from God. It was a voice in the wilderness. God spoke. People flocked to him. People began to wonder whether he was the promised Messiah. They questioned him. And he frankly, openly said, "I'm not the Christ." Well, they say, if you are not the Christ, then you must be the prophet. You must be Elijah, who will come before the Lord. He said, no, I'm not Elijah. Then they say, why do you perform baptism? Such a drastic ceremony. No one should demand baptism that is death, burial, in order to be resurrected. Why so drastic? If you are not the Christ, if you are not Elijah, and John the Baptist said, indeed, I baptize you with water, but there is one among you. He will come after me, but he is before me, because he was before me. I'm not even fit to unloose the string of his shoes. He is in your midst, and you do not know him. I come to manifest him, to prepare his way. I am that voice in the wilderness. Well, Jesus came and was baptized. Physically speaking, he should know Jesus. They were cousins. He was born 6 months ahead. Even though he grew up in the wilderness, but no doubt, he must have heard of his wonderful cousin. Morally, he was impressed by Jesus. When Jesus came to be baptized of him, somehow he felt, this Jesus his cousin, was so holy. How could he come to be baptized of me? I need to get baptized by him. So he dare not baptize Jesus until Jesus said, let us fulfill all righteousness. Morally, he sensed the holiness of Jesus. But he said, I knew him not. In John chapter 1, he said, on the morrow. Actually, time-wise, our Lord Jesus was already baptized by John. Our Lord Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted. And he overcame. And he came back. And after he came back, on the morrow, it is as if Jesus was coming to John. He came out of the wilderness. He came to John. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I do not know him before. But now I know. Why? Because when I baptized him, God told me, the one whom the Holy Spirit will descend and abide in that person, this is the Son of God, the Messiah. When Jesus was baptized, the heaven was opened. Brothers and sisters, heaven was closed to mankind because of sin. But now heaven was open. Why? Because here is a man who came out of heaven. And even though he is on earth, he is still in heaven. He hasn't left heaven. Heaven is his home, his dwelling place. There is no separation between him and heaven. While on earth, he is in heaven. He carries with him heaven. That is his dwelling place. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. He and the Holy Spirit are one. They have never been separated. The Father gave the Holy Spirit to him without measure. In the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit did come upon people. Enable them to do things that they could not do. But never, never did the Holy Spirit came down and abide, make his home in a person. Never. Because the Holy Spirit can only rest in holy ground. You remember the story of Noah after the flood? When the water began to subside, Noah opened the window, let out a dove, but the dove couldn't find a resting place, and he returned. Not until all the water was dry, a new earth, and the dove did not return. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit may come upon a person, empower him, and use him. The Holy Spirit can even come upon an S and cause an S to speak. But he cannot dwell. He cannot make his abode. He cannot rest in any that is not perfectly holy. For the first time, the Holy Spirit finds a resting place in Jesus, the Son of God. And a voice came, "This is my beloved Son, in whom is my delight." Brothers and sisters, when this happened, John saw it. Only two persons saw it. Jesus and John. All the rest didn't see anything. This revelation was given to John. John came to prepare the way of the Lord. He told people one is coming, but he did not know who that one was. Not until that moment his eyes were open. This is he. And he testified, "This is the Son of God." Brothers and sisters, can you look at any man and say he is the Son of God? Especially can you look at your relative and say, "Well, he is the Son of God"? Never. The more you know a person, the more he is unlike. Even John was, in a sense, sensed the holiness of his cousin. But for him to say, "Well, my cousin, he is the Son of God." No, he couldn't say that. No flesh and blood can teach you. It is the Father who reveals it to you. So, brothers and sisters, here you'll find John the Baptist. He comes to prepare the way of the Lord, but he doesn't know the Lord. And now he knows. This is not just a holy man. This is the Son of God. The Son of God came into this world. What is the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God? To see that he is one with the Father, one with the Spirit. He is none other but God himself. To see him as the Son of God is to see the purpose of God. God's purpose is centered upon his Son. He has given all things to his Son. His Son is the heir of all things. It is his desire that his Son have the first place in all things, the preeminence of Christ Jesus. All the pleasure, the delight of the Father is in His Son. To see the Son is to see that this is the one who is in the bosom of the Father and who declares God to us. No one has ever seen God. But the Lord Jesus said to Philip, I have been so long with you, and you still ask me to show you the Father. Haven't you seen me? If you see me, you see the Father. Brothers and sisters, our knowledge of God comes through the Son. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is in the Son that we see the Father. It is by knowing the Son that we know the Father. We know the Father's love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God has manifested His love to us by sending His Son into this world that we may live through Him. Dear brothers and sisters, we see the Father's love. The Son's coming is the Father's coming. This revelation takes us back to eternity past. From eternity, He is God, one with God, the Son of God, the beloved of the Father, the delight of the Father, the purpose of the Father. The Word, the expression, the manifestation, the declaration of the Father. That is revelation. Do we have this revelation? This, the Son of God, is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Numberless lambs have been slaughtered. Blood have been shed. But sin was only covered, never taken away. It awaits the Lamb of God. God prepares a lamb. And that Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God is none other but the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, why is it that one person died on the cross to take away the sin of the world? Why is it that he alone, one person, can redeem all of us? It is because that one person who died in our stead is the Son of God. The word of the Son of God is much, 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 much more than the whole world. That's the reason why He, the Lamb of God, when He was on the cross, He bore upon His own body all the sin of the world and take it away. This speaks of His work while He was on earth. He came as the Lamb of God, and He came to be crucified that He might redeem us. But then John the Baptist saw something more. He said, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is coming after me, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Baptized with water for repentance as a preparation. Baptized with the Holy Spirit is the real substance. When did our Lord Jesus baptize with the Holy Spirit? He didn't do that while He was on earth. While He was on earth, He was the Lamb of God, ready to be offered. But dear brothers and sisters, after He had offered Himself as the Lamb of God, He died. He was buried. But on the third day, He was raised from the dead. And after 40 days, He ascended up on high, seated at the right hand of God, His Father. And God, His Father, anointed Him and made Him Lord and Christ. Ten days later, on the day of Pentecost, 120 believers gathered in that upper room. Suddenly there was a hard breathing. God breathed into that room. The Holy Spirit filled that room. In one spirit, the 120 people were baptized into one body. Brothers and sisters, the risen ascended Lord is the baptizer. He baptized His church. He baptized His people into one body, His own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "In one spirit ye were baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, and were made to drink of one spirit." Dear brothers and sisters, the work of our Lord in saving us, in forgiving our sins, remitting our sins, taking away our sins, it's just the beginning. He wants all those who are redeemed, forgiven, who are his, to be his own body. It is by the baptism with the Holy Spirit that he baptized all of us into one body. Not only those 120 on the day of Pentecost, but on the very same day, 3,000. And brothers and sisters, even today, until the coming of the Lord, you find all who believe in the Lord Jesus, they were not only reborn, but they were baptized into one body. Brothers and sisters, you not only have the life of Christ in you, but you are in the body of Christ. Do you know that? He has done it. But do you know that? Are you living in that body? Or do you still live as an individual believer? God has made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. That's a fact. Oh, that our eyes may be open to see this. You are not alone. You are not all by yourself. You are in the body of Christ. You are members one of another. You have a head, Christ the head, and the church his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. How rich is the body, as rich as the head. But more. John the Baptist, he saw the Lord Jesus is not only the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, but he is the bridegroom. You know, when there was a discussion about purification, and his disciples were a little bit jealous for him, and they said, well, look, the one that you witness to, everybody goes to him. They tried to stir up some jealousy from John. But instead, John said, I told you, I'm not the Christ. I'm the friend of the bridegroom. You know, in the early days, the friend of the bridegroom is the one who is the go-between. He will represent the bridegroom, go to the bride's home, and try to negotiate the marriage. And when the negotiation is over and the marriage happened, the bridegroom is here. He said, when I hear the voice of the bridegroom, I rejoice because my work is done. I step aside. He must increase. I must decrease. Dear brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus, he is not only the Son of God. God said it is not good for him to be alone. God gave him a helpmeet, the church. The church today is his body. And when that dead body is fully grown, then our head will come back to receive that body as his bride. There will be an eternal union. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a revelation. Are we longing for our bridegroom? But all revelation will be severely tested. John the Baptist received such tremendous revelation, and you'll find he was severely tested. You remember in Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 6, he was in prison because of righteousness. He heard what the Lord was doing, and he sent his disciple to the Lord and said, "Are you the one who is coming, or are we waiting for someone else?" Isn't it strange that such questions should come from John the Baptist? He had received revelations. Tremendous revelation. So real to him. So powerful. He gave such great testimony. And now, he was almost offended by the Lord. Did he forget all his revelation? Never. But why? Why was he offended by the Lord? Almost offended. Why? I wonder. You know, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. You remember Elijah? How he was jealous for the Lord, zealous for the Lord. How he did so great things on Mount Carmel. He thought now the whole nation will turn back to the Lord. Unfortunately, he had to flee for his life. He asked the Lord to take his life away. He said, I'm a failure. I'm a failure. My mission failed. Now, can it be that John, who came in the spirit of Elijah, he had the same problem? He thought that God sent him as a forerunner. Now, he had done his job. But he ended in prison. And here you'll find the one whom he testified for. He was there. But he, why is it? He did not restore the kingdom of Israel. The kingdom of God. Why did he not do that? You know, as a Jew, he still had that mentality. The Messiah came to restore the kingdom to Israel, to make Israel the first of the nations, to overturn Rome. But all that he heard was the Lord was healing the blind, raising the dead, preach to the poor. What are you doing? And you let me, your forerunner, linger in prison. I should be your prime minister. He was nearly offended. Even with such great revelation, brothers and sisters, revelation will be severely tested. And the Lord just sent words back to him and said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Yes, this is what I do. I know what I'm doing. Be patient. The spiritual comes first. Thank God, not long after that, he was beheaded. I believe he wasn't offended. He was faithful to the end. So, dear brothers and sisters, oh, that God in his mercy will reveal his Son more in us. Yes, the enemy will severely contest it, but the Lord has shown you. You may even go through situation as if it's just the opposite. But the Lord knows what he is doing. He is working out his purpose. Just be patient and be faithful to the very end. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that our will shed thy light upon us, that we may see where we are. We pray that we may be a people repent in dust and ashes, acknowledging we know of thee, but we do not know thee. How little is real is spiritual. How much is mental is tradition. Oh, deliver us. Make us a real people. We want to know thee. Really know thee. Oh, do reveal thyself to us. Pray that thou wilt keep us faithful to the very end of what thou hast revealed. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus and for his glory.